As an apex predator, the presence of snow leopards informs us about the health of their environment. That's why the Snow Leopard Trust has turned to Microsoft AI to find and study these elusive animals. With AI, it only takes minutes to analyze thousands of remote camera images and understand where these animals are, so researchers have more time to protect them and their ecosystem. See how at Microsoft.com/AI.
Ghostbusters Resurrection is presented by the Nerdy Show Network. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you.
Visit nerdyshow.com/support to learn about our Patreon or give a one-time donation.
And if you'd like to open your own Ghostbusters role-playing franchise, head to gbrpg.com.
Yeah, you guys are running low on equipment.
With my Ecto Ecto Fun.
Actually, no, those are little bombs. Yeah. Never mind.
Look, equipment never got us out of a jam.
I don't know about that. I think it's the only thing that gets you out of a jam.
Well, no, one time Josh married someone.
I presided over a marriage.
Yeah. Briggs married somebody. Yes.
Hey, yeah, guys.
Technically, it was Briggs' body, but it was the monster inside him that was married.
All right, half of Briggs married.
Well, I feel like anyone who's marrying, like if you get married, you really are marrying the monster.
whether you know it or not.
Wait, so am I the monster?
No, but you're still married.
Yeah. You're not getting out
he
of that
He never got
man.
That annulled.
Wait, no.
Good luck taking that to court.
We're not bringing him back so you can annul
The Carpathian
that
court system is a pain in the ass.
Oh, God, the alimony.
I was about to say the alimony. Child support for all
I'm used
kittens.
To a certain standard of living.
You're going to have to fund his throne of skulls. Or throne of blood, I'm sorry. Sorry, everybody.
So, when we last left off, you guys were leaving the vehicle assembly building on the Space Coast. You were inside a Chinook helicopter as it was flying back to Orlando. The Ecto-1 is in a sling dangling underneath the helicopter as you are flying. You are sharing the inside of this helicopter with three other soldiers who are there to be like your escort when you land, just to make sure the landing zone is clear. On the way back, Nina spotted a couple of zombies walking around. People were abandoning their cars. You've notified the police. They said they would move in. You are flying over Orlando, making your way back to the firehouse. As the Chinook makes its final approach above the firehouse, it's realizing there's no real space to land, you know, because it's huge.
You never stopped them before.
Mm-hmm.
On 50, there would be.
Looking on the street view, the telephone wires and all the electrical cables that are going up and down 50, they're that close. So the next closest spot that is definitely big enough is in front of the Reeves Memorial United Methodist Church. There's the parking lot that's in the back. It's actually empty because it's, you know, Halloween's the middle of the night and there's nothing there. So they're just going to gently hover over, set down the Ecto-1, detach the cable, hover a little bit over, and just set the back end down, open the back, and as you guys are ready to go out, the three soldiers who are there to make sure the area is clear, they cut out in front and just make sure everything is fine. You guys are good to go. They
don't shoot
you
any
out.
Kids. Have the kids finished evacuating the firehouse?
That was like 3 episodes ago.
Oh, okay.
The kids are fine. The area is clear, so they wave you out. You can head over and start up the Ecto-1. You were literally like 60 seconds away from the firehouse.
Does the Ecto-1 kind of like make a loud bang? Because that thing is banged up pretty
it
bad.
It sounds
too.
Bad.
What's the status of, I believe we put the trap in the mobile containment unit?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's fighting. Right?
Yes. The mobile containment unit was being drained of energy very fast, which is why you had to take the helicopter back.
So right? I want to get there quickly.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's 3 blocks away. You can make it back to the firehouse in one piece. Bring it right around the back. The door's open. You pull in, and this thing just, you know, sort of clunks to a stop, and you're back.
And a single tear just quietly just rolls down my cheek.
You're in the garage of the firehouse. What's the first thing we're doing?
Peeing. It's probably been hours.
After the spider, you didn't pee your pants when you got the spiders? I did.
Oh, that's probably true. I hit it with all the water coming down on us.
Couldn't tell.
I'm just going to have a quiet moment of reflection looking at the Ecto-1. Just going to little tear.
Because here's the thing. You know that the mobile containment unit is draining fast.
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously, take care of that now. Yeah. Right away, now. Move it in.
Okay. I'm going to need a muscles because the thing is fighting you.
Okay. Four.
You can't do it. You gotta get someone else has
Briggs,
to do
you
it.
Need help, man.
Can we like all try to
Sure, LaForge.
Let's teamwork.
And this thing is fighting the entire time, and there's like little bits of steam and smoke coming out of the lid.
If LaForge is fighting it back, does that count as grapple?
We'll see how well he rolls.
He rolled well.
Yeah, 16.
Yeah, that's fine. You get it inside. Light is green. Trap is clean.
Wait,
I'm hungry.
Can we do an analysis of the, like, does the actual containment unit look like it's handling all these druid in?
Give me a brains roll.
I asked Briggs.
Wouldn't that be that'd be engineering, right?
First, just give me standard brains.
12.
Everything looks completely normal, actually. You do think it's a little bit weird that it would fight so hard to be in the trap, but then once it's in the containment grid, that you don't really see a difference. But
maybe it just has more space so it can stretch.
That is the thing. We don't really know what it's like inside. Like, you know? So, you don't notice any difference.
Can I do like an engineering check on the Ecto-1? Because it's been through, and I'd rather not take it back
out.
Sure.
While you do that, I come in to the garage. Doug comes into the garage. And it's like, hey guys, you better get inside because Felicia Silver's here. And she's in a serious conversation with Mr. Book, and I don't know where this is going, so you should probably...
She had a hard night?
Oh,
she's having a bad time. It must be really hard for her.
And I'm keeping it down because I know that, like, you know, we don't really know what the deal is, so...
I walk in, throw a grenade at her, and say, trick or treat!
So let me deal with Briggs first.
Piss. Of course. 26 and a ghost.
You know that you can fix it. There's just not a lot of time. And the time it would take to get it up and running again, like that you'd feel comfortable like speeding around the streets, it would take a little too long. You think if you're going to use this car again, it would have to be not too far from the firehouse and you wouldn't have to be pushing it too hard. But it could still drive normal, but if you push it, it's not going to last.
All right, well, I have a theory. We have the van and we have the truck. We can use those and we can...
The truck is at the airport.
That's right.
I don't know, man. I mean, that old FJ60 has that 2F engine in it. It's inline six. You can't kill it. It's a solid front and rear axle.
Yeah.
If you want to spend the time working on it now...
I'm going to do that.
That would help. That would definitely help your chances.
I'm going to do that.
So while you're doing that, you guys are going
to
go in?
So I'm going to pull you aside, Doug.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, while we handle Felicia, call the European Ghostbusters and ask them about that location that Ralph mentioned.
That he was being questioned about. Okay.
When he was being held captive.
Wiltshire?
I think that's it.
Yeah.
And let the European Ghostbusters give them, first of all, a status update on everything that we're doing.
Sure.
But let them know, I mean, we have someone over in England. We might as well utilize that.
Yeah. No, I will try and do that as covertly as possible.
Okay, cool.
Which one is our English contact? I'm trying to
Billy?
Picture it.
Well, I mean, technically, the international Ghostbusters are based out of England.
But Billy's American.
Yeah. There is no British member of the team.
I was trying to picture a British member. I'm like, no.
There's an Australian.
French, Russian... German.
Scottish.
Yeah. He's not. He doesn't want to talk to a bloody Englishman. Like
all right, so let's talk to bitch Felicia Silver.
Real quick, how do we look? Do we look like we just came out at the end of, like, the movie Come and See or something like
that? Yeah, no, yeah, you guys...
I mean, we had that nasty webbing and all of that water. I mean, I was in a motorcycle accident.
Yeah, no, you guys are all kinds of crawling. Messed up. I mean, Wall definitely is cut from the bone druiden from before. Like, you got holes
right.
in your suit.
Oh, yeah.
You guys have got water, webbing, dirt, the weird water that's in the fire system at the VAB. Goop from an inside. Some of you were almost swallowed by a giant spider. You
know? Each of us could summon Captain Planet.
Yeah. It looks like... So it's basically if somebody was doing a seance and accidentally summoned a World War One ghost. Like, that's what we...
yeah. All of you look pretty messed up. Like, dirt, goop, all kinds of crazy stuff. So, yeah, you're looking like it's been a very hard night. And
we don't have time for showers, do we?
No. And so when you go in, she's talking with Mr. Book, and Mr. Book's looking a little intimidated. Felicia is not looking, like, pissed off or anything, but she's definitely... very serious. She greets you, but is seemingly very guarded.
Oh, you're back. How goes the trick-or-treating?
Fine. How's your night been?
It's actually been very difficult. Several members of Occulto Veritas have gone missing, and we have reason to believe they are involved in tonight's events. When I heard Mr. Book was with you, I took it upon myself to assess what the situation here is.
Thing's bad, man. Lady?
Can we put the spectral oral analyzer in her head? Just so we can get the... She's telling the truth. Or at least she thinks she is.
Put this colander on your head, please.
We only talk to people when they're wearing this.
Do you really want to try and get her to put the thing on?
Yes. This is the speaking hat.
Try this on. I have the pillow now.
Oh, that was really funny, Briggs.
Go ahead, Poole. If you're going to roll to convince her, go ahead.
This is a normal cool, I'm guessing.
8.
Really?
Yeah.
She got 20. And I think she had less dice than you.
Yeah, no, I'm
no,
at
3.
That's
impossible.
No. We've had a really long night. I got to be honest, I need some affirmation. I mean, you say that you're, you know, part of this group and that there's people who are might be the cause of this. Could you put this on just so that we can get confirmation that you're on the, like, you're being straight with us?
What does it do?
It's a fancy lie detector.
All right. I'll put it on.
Sweet. Good job, Poole.
But you can't, like, refuse the colander. Like, if you refuse the colander, we're like, you're a fucking ghost.
Okay, so let's just say, you know, you wheel the thing out, you put the laptop on, and you get the colander ready, and you put it on top of her head. She looks human. She's completely human. This looks totally normal.
I don't know if it actually lie detects.
If she's a ghost or possessed, you'll see what she's possessed by.
Right. Right, got that.
She's definitely not possessed by anything.
Okay.
And as far as, like, the lie detection element of it, it's pretty crude. So, like, if you're if you're really good at telling lies, it won't detect.
Right.
Unlike a real polygraph.
Okay, but regardless, the fact that she was willing to put it on, I'll take it as a show of faith.
Mm-hmm. But it could be part of the plan.
Oh, no, I hate her. Well, we've definitely been interacting with people throughout the evening that seem to have some type of organization. I don't know if these are other members of Cult of Veritas. They haven't been really forthcoming with details, but we've definitely encountered lots of people this evening.
You put it on Mr. Book? You might want to maybe throw it on Mr. Book?
It's like the blood testing thing.
Yeah.
Just put it on.
Let me show you all what I already know.
How do you want to approach Mr. Book about it?
Say, you next, Marty.
He'll go, oh, okay. He just kind of, like, he'll do it. He's not worried about it or anything.
Does the
like
colander
that.
Come to life?
No, if you put it on him, he'll, like, you know, because you already had it set up. Yeah. So she gets out of there and you go, hey, you know what? Just really quick. So he'll be like, all right. So he goes, he sits down, you put it on, strap it on. Totally normal.
So hang on. This is kind of fun.
Yeah.
Can I put it on?
Yeah, sure. If you want to put it on. Just, okay. just to show like how the baseline, how it's supposed to control.
I've actually never put it on before. I don't know. Like, what if I've been possessed the whole time and who I think I am is not the
you
meaning.
Never left that painting.
Like I possessed this body and got amnesia and I just think I am this body, but I'm not. I'm the alien.
You put it on and it's Abraham Lincoln.
I knew it!
I'm so, like, if we have time for this, we have time for showers.
Yeah, you know, while these shenanigans are going on, I need to look like, hey, Nina.
You want to double up?
No. I only have one bar of soap.
Right. Please hurry.
Like, I nod my head to the kitchen, like, kitchen?
Fight. Kitchen?
Kitchen. And I just wander over to the kitchen. Yeah. I'm hungry.
Yeah, I think we just run over to the kitchen just
the
eat.
The problem is that
drink
we're using, all of, our, we're using all of our cooking tools for spectral oral analyzation.
Anyway,
all right, so let's make progress with this conversation. Okay, so I take Josh's or LaForge aside and I say, hey, I mean, how real do we want to get with Felicia here? Do we want to, I mean, point out the fact that Ralph has came to us and said that he was basically being interrogated by Occult of Veritas this entire time? Or do we want to keep our cards a little bit closer to the chest?
I really want to see how she acts in the moment of surprise. Let's keep Ralph in our back pocket for a little bit.
Okay, all right.
Is it Poole? Did you, when I put it on, did you see anything?
No, you look good.
Oh, thank God.
Okay, so we're obviously dealing with a lot tonight.
Yeah.
What do you need from us?
Aside from checking in on Mr. Book and seeing whose side he's on, I needed to get information from him on what kind of research he's been giving you, because it's probably useful.
I mean, do you have people that you could even trust to take care of this situation?
Of course I do. But I need to know who I can trust first before I can think about utilizing some of the more dangerous members of Occulto Veritas.
Shit.
When you say dangerous. All right, listen. Briggs is dangerous.
Only on Tuesdays.
I'm assuming that's not the kind of dangerous you mean.
I mean special operations. A tactical strike force.
I appreciate how confident using that term must make you feel, but we've saved the world twice. I just don't know. I don't know what, like, so I, you know what? Bring them. What do you, pool? You agree?
Well, I mean, do we actually want to, like, take advantage of any resources? I mean, we are stretched pretty thin right now.
Okay. Do you guys want to do a huddle inside away from Felicia? Can you hang out with Mr. Book? We trust him, Felicia. We've vetted him.
Yeah.
Like, just give us a second.
Fine.
All right. So, as far as Druiden go, they're elemental mm-hmm. in a primal way. So far, we've dealt with earth, water, bone, air, and fire.
We have not caught the earth Druiden.
A piece of it escaped. Right, but you did catch. Right.
We caught the essence, the material.
But the entity itself.
Okay.
Necromancy and palm reading, I think, are the last two
bone
forbidden
wasn't.
Magics.
Bone was Animal Kingdom.
Like reading the bones, and we went to Animal Kingdom and fought the bone.
So bone is not necromancy.
No.
Necromancy.
That's like
what's the
difference between like manipulating corpses versus rolling bones on a table and reading fortunes, is what I interpreted.
That is what it is, okay. Yeah.
Well, then the necromancy has to be the one at Universal.
Yeah,
and
in Casadega is where all the psychics are.
Am I still fixing the car while you guys are talking about this?
This is all happening very quickly, but
yeah, we're just...
And if Josh wants to call a huddle, I'm sure you would.
Yeah,
okay.
Can you guys just come in there while I'm fixing the car? Because I could do both.
Sure, we'll do it right around
the car's fine.
It's really
not. It's a Land Cruiser. I don't know if the logic of how this works. It's probably that the necromancy one is scary, but the palm reading, while appearing silly, is super scary.
Yeah. We can ask her what resources she's talking about. I think we should... I don't trust them here at the firehouse. Send them a bit low.
Yeah, that's probably best.
Break
huddle? What do you guys think?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it sounds good.
Okay,
cool. I'm into it.
All right. Okay, so we walk back in and we say, all right, well, what resources are you really talking about? Because we've already fought a lot of things tonight, and, you know, I just kind of want to know what you're bringing to the table.
These are things you're not supposed to be aware of, but we have several different 5 to 6 man teams that specialize in different things, like cryptozoology, undead, and non-corporeal entities. But if we're seeing walking corpses and other monsters, I would call in the Grey Squadron. Their specialty is undead creatures like zombies and vampires. It was the same squad that I sent out a few years ago when you were in Europe.
I know. They were awful.
A lot of them died.
Mr. Book is like, okay, look, I've been wanting to talk to you guys about this since you got back. I think this is going to be important, and I made some notes on this as well. So he's going to hand over this piece of paper that has some printed information, along with his handwritten notes. You don't have to read the whole thing out loud, because it's a lot. But it's basically, this is about the 7 forbidden magics and how it ties into the Druiden. Each one of these pieces of magic is a forbidden magic from the Renaissance era. I think that each one of them can affect the other.
So like one cancels out another, maybe?
That's what I am thinking. The thing that's weird about this is this collection of magic. It doesn't quite make that much sense. The 4 elementals are kind of a given. That's kind of obvious. The ones that stand out are the palmistry, the bone reading, and the necromancy.
Right.
I don't really know why these were grouped together in this specific way. They were just considered to be all bad at the time. But there are several books that can go into it, talk about the groupings, like where they originally came from, why are they grouped this way. It mentions things like the Picatrix and Liber Ricellis. These are both old grimoires from the 13th century. They're the first ones to be considered outlawed and forbidden, but they are the ones that go into these kind of things. You'll notice I have a note on there about the Munich Manual of Demonic Magic.
Mm-hmm. This 15th century.
Yes. Oh, you read my notes. Great. This one isn't really...
No studying.
Part of it has been translated into English, but the entire manual has not yet been translated.
They've had hundreds of years.
This was only found recently.
Okay.
Like, this was only recently found in, like, the 1920s, but it's from the 15th century, and they've been translating it, you know, trying to get the proper thing, because it's, you know, it was, like, in Latin, then Old German, and all sorts of craziness, and it wasn't really interesting to a lot of people, so that's why only parts of it were translated into English, but I think there's also missing pieces of it. That have not been touched. We're not even sure if it's part of that manual. But anyway, I'm talking with somebody who's in Munich right now, who's at the library, trying to translate the rest of it for us, because I think it's going to be the connecting thread that explains why these 7 things are together and why they're tied to Samhain.
Mm.
And as an example of certain things, he's already scanned over a couple pages. I haven't translated these yet, but I'm going to hand them to you guys and see if anything jumps out at you. These are actual pages from the actual Munich Manual of Demonic Magic.
Oh, hey, what up? Am I holding this right? Actually, no, I'm holding this upside down, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, turn it. Yeah, sure. Oh. You have it.
That bodes really well for you being able to read this.
Okay.
I have a cult. Maybe I should read it.
He says, the first, now, as you can see, there's Pentagram, also the Drudenfuss, as it's tied to the Druden. I think this is supposed to be some kind of ritual having to do with them, either summoning them or stopping them. We're trying to figure that out. But I'm just trying to show you what I'm dealing with right now. That this is crazy. Nina, maybe if you can read any of the old German, maybe you know some of this. You know that some of it looks familiar with some of the other notes that you've had previously, the ones like maybe particularly relating to Samhain and the Feast of Samhain. Related imagery, definitely. Specifically the pentagram. I mean, it's kind of hard to miss.
Yeah, stuff about the moon.
Actually, yeah, that's an important point. A thing that this has in common with those two other forbidden books that I mentioned is strange kinds of worship. I'm going to try and give you an exact example here. Quick history. Now, granted, this is Mr. Book's very excited about this. This is shit he eats up. The Munich Manual was only recently discovered, but the two previous books that are of the same ilk and from a similar time period is the Picatrix, like I mentioned before. That's 400 pages about different things of magic and astrology. That's from the 11th century. It was originally in Arabic, and then it was translated from like Arabic to Spanish, then from Spanish to Latin.
Was the Arabic man, did he go crazy at some point?
We don't know the person who wrote it.
Okay.
But it was translated several times, so maybe whatever power that it had is kind of been watered down throughout the ages. But the important thing is the title of this original thing, Picatrix, is the Latin title. The original title in Arabic is loosely translated to the aim of the sage or the goal of the wise. But the thing that is really interesting about it is that this has different spells, and it tells you the best times and places to use spells and the gestures that the summoner needs to use to, and I quote, what terms must be used in petitioning to the stars. So to get power from somewhere that was not holy, in other words, this is why this book was blacklisted.
Okay.
Now, totally different book from a totally different background, and this is real. This is the Liber Ricellus. I can't pronounce this one right. This is, again, 13th century medieval Kabbalah grimoire. So completely different background.
So primarily focused around demonology?
Yes. It's written in Hebrew and Aramaic. But this text was supposedly given to Noah by the angel Raziel. This was then handed down over the generations to eventually got into Solomon's hands, King Solomon. King Solomon, supposedly he had these magical abilities. Supposedly they came from this book.
Well, I mean, he was really good at getting wives.
But here's the parallel between the two. It tells you how to call upon angels rather than God on how to perform supernatural feats.
Okay.
So both of these books are blacklisted because they are calling upon a heavenly thing in the stars that's not God that gives it its power.
Did it say what kind of angel?
It was insinuating that these were just like your standard angels that worked for God. But the point here is that what they thought was angels
could have been just spirits.
Could have been powerful spirits of something else. And with the Lesser Key of Solomon, as I'm sure you guys know, there's like dozens and dozens of demons that are listed in it, over 140 spells on how to summon them. So we're talking about a whole pantheon of demons all relating to feeding power, giving power, like humans being able to harness that power somehow, and that's what's been blacklisted. And whenever I try to look this up in the Occult of Veritas archives, that's the stuff that's been missing. This is the stuff that everything I've been telling you has not been from the Occult of Veritas archives. There's giant holes where these things are supposed to be, but I'm getting them from my personal archives and from the people that I know that are over in Germany and everywhere else in Europe. So everything relating to that and Samhain is missing. And I don't have an explanation, but I'm getting more and more all the time, but this is what I got. So as you can see by the notes, I think there's certain ones that can overpower other ones. I think we got to start thinking about what happens if these things all come together.
Well, we did already notice some pretty volatile reactions to the materia from one. When they got in close proximity, there was a pretty volatile reaction, so.
Well, it wasn't really volatile. They just sort of glowed.
I just had a thought.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So far, we've put 4 in the containment unit, right? What happens if we put all 7 in there? That could potentially be catastrophic.
We did discuss that, but this page, names on it. I mean, clearly, like, Satan, Beelzebub, Lucifer, Belial.
Yeah, these are old grimoires that talk about all the different kinds of demons and other spirits and things. There's patterns here. I don't know if these are, like, runes or summoning
accident,
circles.
I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right. Accidents and... What is this? Oriens? Aren't those the names of angels? Or, like, classifications of angels?
I have yet to go through these pages. What I'm currently working on is what you're looking at now.
Okay.
I'm hopefully going to have more ready for you by the time you guys come back.
Wasn't Beelzebub and weren't they fallen angels as well that became demons after they fell?
I mean, in one book. There's only one book where that happens. There's no Satan in the Torah and the Kabbalah. Well, I mean, they use the word Shaitan, but it just means enemy or adversary.
So what Mr. Book basically says, he says, as crazy as it sounds, right now what I'm trying to do is make a grand unified theory of all of this because there's so much that they have in common and so much that is completely opposite. I'm just trying to find out what they all have in common because that's probably going to lead us to the truth of something.
Well, the problem is, like, where do you stop, though? There might be a new Abdul al-Hazrat out there and make a new shit.
Well, I mean, he's got a good point. I mean, we know demons exist. We know stuff like this, so I mean, it all could...
Well, and again, what are we calling demons? Minions of hell? Or are we referring to them as just powerful spiritual entities?
We have made
that
determination.
I think it's like hungry things that don't normally live in our realm that are trying to get in. And also, what we call ghosts, just like lesser powerful demons. Because they're not people. Not really.
We've discussed before the idea of a person ghost was never that person. It's more of like an imprint, like when you, like your hand in putty kind of thing. It's just like you psychokinetic imprint of someone onto the...
But is that imprint the thing? Or is it the thing can use the imprint to appear?
Depends on the kind of ghost. You know, it depends. That's all I'm saying. This is why it's a cutting edge science.
Look, it's getting late in the night and I'm getting real philosophical. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you guys haven't had sleep in a long time.
Hey,
you
know? We got that demon in the containment unit, don't we?
No, he's out. He's
that's right.
There with freaking...
So we need to ask him, hey, where'd you come from, man? Just be honest with us. I mean,
ask it.
It would be rude, Briggs.
I don't care.
Yeah. You can't just ask people why there's demons, matters. Briggs.
He's trying to kill everyone. I think it's okay.
Look, it's like going to Alaska and ask somebody why they moved there. It's rude.
Okay,
I mean,
so regardless,
you can't really expect any
it seems
answers.
Like you're connecting some dots between the forbidden magics and the summoning of a being.
Yes.
But at least as far as our understanding is, the being has been summoned.
I think when you know how to summon something, that can be a clue on how to get rid of something.
Okay, if all of these druiden were used by a particular group to bring Samhain to where we are, maybe these... leftover pieces that we're getting, we need to collect all of them to banish him again?
Mr. Book says, I don't know.
I feel safer if we destroyed or put him in a tank in the containment unit personally.
I'd be real sad if we destroy one of them and then find out we needed all seven.
Mr. Book says, it's my current theory that these seven druiden were just seven of hundreds way back in the day. And for whatever reason, those have fallen by the wayside. These ones have stepped in and are representing these seven forbidden magics.
Okay, so while we're talking about this, people are getting eaten, Universal, so we need to do that regardless. We need to stop that from happening.
Yeah, it's got
to
move on.
So do we take Grey Group with us to Universal or send them to clean up Bithlo?
I say they go to Bithlo because we're going to be more effective than them, I think, personally.
I'll contact the Grey Squadron, tell them about the infestation in Bithlo, and have them report back to me.
Okay, then if we're going to Universal, I am going to our pseudo-armory and taking my psychokinetically charged axe.
It's good to use other resources that you got.
Ooh, how many weapons like that do we
have?
Sounds
fun.
We have two or three, right?
Yeah, I can tell you in a second, but I'll say while you guys are discussing this, Ralph comes walking out of the back.
Oh, good.
And it's the first time he's been out all night since you put him back. And he speaks to Nina in German, and he's just like, I need to eat soon. I'll say at the sight of Ralph, Felicia Silver says,
what the fuck?
And she reaches into her coat and she pulls out a gun and she starts aiming it around.
What is he doing here?
She's like backing herself into a corner and looking very afraid.
I'm sure he's wondering the same thing.
As the confusion is mounting here, she's going to reach into her jacket again and she's going to pull out, looks like a small piece of paper, which you can see now looks like a photograph. And she's going to throw it at his feet and she's going to start speaking to him in German.
Kennst du ihn?
Nein.
Oh, she's asking if he recognizes him.
Du hast ihn in München getroffen.
She said he met him in Munich.
Ich kann mich nicht erinnern.
Oh, he says he doesn't remember.
Du hast ihm die Kehle zerrissen. Mit den Zähnen.
He tore his throat open with his teeth.
Es tut mir leid.
And he starts breaking down. And he, like, falls to his knees and he starts crying and he says,
Erschießen Sie mich. Erschießen Sie mich. Bringen Sie mich um. Bringen Sie mich um.
He's sorry. And he wants to die.
So yeah. She's accusing Ralph of killing one of the previous Occulta Veritas agent.
So she's freaked out that he's saying this stuff, and he's on the ground, and he's weeping, and you guys are kind of just standing in the corner watching, and she's not really sure what she wants to do, but this is, it's pretty tense as far as...
we lost our hidden card, so yeah. I'm going to just step between the two of them. I've got my hands up, because I don't want to appear threatening, and I'm like, hold on. He came to us looking for help, apparently having been tortured by some of your people for the last year.
Bullshit. He escaped shortly after you left Germany, and now he's here? You let him go.
I went to kill him, and he was gone.
It seems like something pretty obvious happened. You got some bad eggs in your organization. He didn't escape. He was kidnapped from your organization by members of your organization. Now he's here, after being tortured, and I'm trying to comfort him with Rammstein lyrics, which is not a good sign. You need to put the gun away
and
chill
working.
The F out.
He killed my brother.
Well, yeah, I mean, but...
I saw the security footage. He's the one.
Let's not waste time going on about who killed who.
I think everyone needs a grilled cheese.
Okay, so maybe he killed your brother.
He did.
Maybe he did. But he's got info that might save everyone on the planet's life. So maybe chill out a little bit.
You have to give a cool.
Oh, man, calm I'm down. So cool. You know what? Because this is a bluff. Because I don't know that he has any information that's worth knowing. In fact, he never even hinted.
That's true. He is never
is
in any way insinuated.
Yeah, that is a straight up bluff.
He has
so.
Anything fucking useful for us.
Not. I mean, it's like an average roll. All right. 15.
I'm so sad I put myself between this bitch.
You're full of shit.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Now, to clarify... She listened to you. She's not, like, beyond reasoning.
Why is he here?
He doesn't want to be a vampire anymore.
That's it? I can fix that right now.
Look, he wants to die. All right? We could do that. We don't need your help doing that. But if we can figure out a way to cure him, maybe it could help us next time we face vampires. And more people like your brother don't have to die.
Give me standard cool.
All right. 13.
She'll put the gun down, and she's just like...
I'm leaving. The Gray Squadron will take care of the situation in Bithlow. I'll contact you.
Hey, if it's any consolation, I'm pretty confident he's fucked.
Like, yeah, if it makes you feel any better...
This is a Hail Mary pass on our part.
Like, this was going to be our pet project for the next, like, what, 2 days? What he gave us before he said he'd walk out into the sunrise?
I give him 5 hours.
Don't. Trust him.
So she'll leave, clearly distressed. But,
so,
you know.
For the record, how did this lying, manipulative bitch end up being the one that's threatening us, saying that she doesn't trust our situation?
Wouldn't she ever lied?
Withheld information.
Which is a form. Lying.
For the record, I remember my favorite part in season 2 is when she goes, well, since we're all being a little more honest with one another. And I was like, we were never not honest.
I kind of don't trust her being on her own at this point.
Unless someone's going to try to stop her, she's just going to leave because she doesn't want to be around Ralph.
Should we just let her go? I mean...
Look, man, if Mr. Book doesn't want to be around her, I don't either.
Yeah, Mr. Book is like, he's not good at confrontations. So he's just, like, he's been quiet like this whole time. And after
you tell me the guy who stays indoors and reads all day is
not good at confrontations. So she'll leave, and Mr. Book, after a while, like after the silence is hanging or whatever, he'll just be like, okay, there's a lot of trust issues apparently, and although it's going to break protocol, I think it's only fair that I'm honest with you guys. I'll just tell you who I am. My name's Nathan Gross, and I'm a junior attorney at a law firm here in Orlando. That's why I'm...
Guys, that's neat.
Okay.
That's a big no-no. And as far as a Cult of Veritas is concerned, we're not supposed to know anything about each other because it protects one another. But
I mean, we walked in with our last names on our
right. But
outfits.
You're well. You came in suits.
Our home address is public record.
Yeah, like and you, yeah. Like you, your faces are public, like public knowledge. Like everyone knows.
We saved the world twice.
Yeah.
I add you on Facebook?
But he says he's like, yeah, fuck it, I don't care. He's because yeah. Again, the point he's trying to concede that like, look, this is. We're looking at the end of the world, so none of that shit matters. So if there's any other questions that you guys have about a Cult of Veritas, I'll tell you everything.
What's your shoe size?
My shoe size?
Yeah.
Like 10 and a half?
Not helping. Fix car.
I'm doing a good job.
What do you guys want to do? You want to try and gear up? You want
to... We got to, man.
We got to go.
We just
got to
do it.
We got to do it.
While we've been talking, there's still...
Well, can we leave Mr. Book with you and say, like, tell Doug everything you know and have him write it down?
Yeah, sure. You can. He'll do what... He's here to help. He'll do whatever.
I mean, to be perfectly honest, the fact that your lawyer is cool, but if we don't make it through the night, it's not going to matter. If we do, we're probably going to be liable for a bunch of shit.
I just figured... I figured
for him it was more of a... I'm showing a show of faith.
And if we're all going to die, I'd rather you know that I'm your friend. You know?
Yeah, but no good deed goes unpunished. That's all I'm saying. If I know you're a lawyer, I'm going to have to use it.
This is all billable, by the way.
Well, yeah, don't we know it?
He doesn't actually say that.
Yeah, we just attach a rider for your cost.
Well, I make it a point since Poole went to the armory.
I'll update you guys with what you have available to you.
I want my sword.
Yeah, how many like melee-esque weapons do we have? That would be a good.
A few.
We should, if we all can carry one, that may not be a bad idea.
Well, I mean, okay, the ones we have scavenged from over in Europe.
Right.
Okay, so this is what you guys have. You have the cutlass from when you're on Pirates of the Caribbean.
Crap, I forgot we kept that.
Yeah.
You also have Colonel Parkin's riding crop.
Again.
Oh. Yeah, I don't think I should have that again.
You hit me with that.
No, with the sword, the cutlass. Yeah, I don't think I should have that again.
Yeah,
bad memory.
Yeah. The last time you held it, you almost stabbed someone.
I'm like Shaitan in fucking Caesar's. I swore I'd never pick this up again.
You also have the giant oversized lance from the UCF Knight statue that's bent in like an accordion.
The one that we strapped to the front of the vehicle.
Yeah, yeah. That's like hanging up over something, like in the garage, practical. You know. Impractical. You have the framed demon tooth. You have...
Calling it.
Yeah, you have Van Helsing's personal diary. And you have the two-handed battle axe from the rusty Crusade Knight. He was one of the four, you know, guys or whatever. But you got that from the Tower of London. You also have the two axes and short sword from the horseman.
Yeah, I'm reclaiming my short sword.
I'm going to take a leather thong.
Do what?
Not the underwear.
I see where you're going.
Like the shoes?
Like a rawhide strip.
Like the Greek sandals?
Yeah, like what those are made of. And, have the demon tooth on it and wrap it around my fist.
Sure. If you really want to do that, I won't stop you.
Yeah.
Over on top of the gloves. On top of those gloves that you got. Slime woven gloves.
The last time I picked up that sword, it was a bad time for everyone.
Yeah.
I think LaForge may be the only person who can use the two-handed battle axe.
We can bring it.
Put it in the car. Well, I mean, my axe.
We have two axes.
I'll have a sword of some kind.
Okay, well I dibs the short sword. Let's give Nina the cutlass.
Okay.
You take the other axe.
Okay, sure, fine.
All right.
And then Josh has his punchy, glovey, demon toothy.
I never take him off.
Bamboo.
Now I've got a demon tooth. You know, just kind of like hanging there.
Oh. Now, can
like
we...
a charm.
Like you
cut someone in...
Like a charm bracelet.
Now, there are those things that need to be repaired. The ones that were water damaged. They had, like, a proton pack that was water damaged. Not a lot of time for any of this, especially if you want to haul ass to Universal.
Could Mike and I, working together, maybe get one proton pack back up and running?
Yeah. Can I use my repair ability?
Both of you give me your brains to check out the one damaged proton pack. Damn. A lot of dice rolling around.
Oh, wow.
I got 35.
26.
With those two combined, you can definitely say, we have spare parts of the stuff that was damaged. Let's take it out, put it on real quick. If you're both working together, you can repair one proton pack. So that's back to normal. I think there was the proton pistol that was also damaged.
Nina's water damage. Yeah.
If you want to give me another one to take a look at that, and we'll see if you can see how bad it is or how well you guys can repair it and how fast you can move.
25 and a ghost to repair the pistol.
40.
You can totally repair it with the spare parts that you have, but you don't want to get it wet again.
Okay,
so it's probably got like an open line somewhere.
Yeah, like the proton pack could basically go back to normal. It can take the same amount of wear and tear that it could before. The Nina's proton pistol, it could totally work, and it is safe to use, but like don't get it wet.
Okay,
that was my proton pack that got wet and damaged, right? Cool.
Yeah.
That's the one that has the little sticker on it that says Weeaboo, but it's a goose.
Yeah. Let me see what other damaged things there were.
Glad
to have that one back.
There were two packs that were completely destroyed, right?
I wouldn't say completely destroyed, but definitely...
The only one that was completely destroyed was the Dark Matter Generator.
Yeah, Dark Matter Generator was definitely destroyed.
Water damage.
Wall's Ghost Trap was also water damage, but you can switch that out for another one.
At the airport.
If you know that you're going to Universal, now's the time if you want to change any of your cards, you want to pick new cards, think about what you want to take with you.
Well, I guess the only thing I'm adding is the axe.
and the sword.
Okay, well, yeah. We both have walkies, so as long as our group has two walkies, that's all that matters there.
I'm keeping things as they are.
I don't know why I feel so bad about letting Felicia go.
I don't like that. Should we just let her go?
I also hate her. But, like, besides the fact that I hate her, what did we get from protecting Ralph from her?
Not a lot.
I mean, she could have just shot him, and then she would have felt better, and we wouldn't have had to deal with that Ralph thing.
You mean aside a cure for a disease that's worse than AIDS?
That we all know we're not finding in 48 hours.
We don't know that.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe the psychic ghost will tell us.
24 hours are pretty booked. In finishing this shit and sleeping all day.
I almost want to try to, like, shove one of these gems into his mouth. see.
So Tobin's been in startled silence the whole time.
Aww.
He's a little freaked out, but he's okay. Now that Felicia Silver's left and Ralph has sort of moped his way back into the back, like, it's because everyone's fucking sad. No one's happy, and Tobin is confused.
I just sit down with Tobin and give him a cuddle.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to point out, I'm not sad about either one of those things. Betsy being broken makes me sad.
So are we going to head out to Universal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go.
What vehicle are we taking? Only thing you have here is the Astrovan and the newly repaired Ecto-1.
I put a hitch on the Astrovan, right? So let's take both. I'll drive the Ecto-1 because I figure I'll have an easier time dealing with the car in its current state. And then, yeah, the Astrovan can tow the Land Cruiser if need be.
I don't know about that. Because that sounds incredibly great
for us needing to get across the state as quickly as possible.
Well, no, like, I'm just saying, like, you know, it could. It, no,
well,
it could.
Worst case scenario, you just leave the Ecto-1 somewhere.
I'd rather call an Uber than do that.
But, like, well, no. You know, here's the reason here. We've had issues with putting in two Druiden in a mobile containment unit,
Very true.
And just in case, we're not going to, like, in case we can't put them all in the same one and we have to bring them both back at the same time and something happens to the Ecto-1 because we don't know, it's been through a lot, we just tow it back. That's better than leaving it out.
Who's doing the van?
Who's got better moves than four?
I'll drive.
All right.
The van.
You are on your way to Universal. It'll be a little bit, but its roads are getting a little bit more clear because it's night kind of winding down, and some people are getting
and the lights are on.
Yeah, and some people are getting wind that there's weird stuff happening. They should just stay indoors. Something not safe. There's a lot of ghost stuff happening. Some people said they saw zombies and stuff. So everyone's kind of, you can tell the city's kind of getting quiet now because the word is spreading fast of, like, all this crazy shit that's happening. You pull up to Universal. You can go in through one of the back gates. Security's ready for you. OPD is there. They're surrounding one of the back sound stages that's there. And there's a crowd of people that would normally be the line for one of these haunted houses. Universal has basically shut down the park. Everyone go home. But there's still a crowd of people who have, like, loved ones that are probably inside. People who are just refusing to leave. There's a lot of cops around
there. I paid for this ticket. Yeah. I'm going to get in that goddamn Michael Myers house.
Waiting for two goddamn hours.
Real zombies or not, I'm getting in there and getting my shit scared.
I just imagine that, like, each time that world-ending shit happens, there's just one guy that the moment it starts, we see him every year. When it goes down, he's just nude in the street and he's like, yeah, man! Yeah, woo!
It's the red-headed guy.
It's for real this time.
Yeah. Ghostbusters, all right!
This time it's going to happen. I know it.
So I guess we should find out where they know there are actual people and head to that direction better.
Yeah, so they're definitely surrounding this one soundstage which has been converted into a haunted house. Some representatives of Universal show up along with some of the higher ranking members of OPD, and they know the Ghostbusters by now. Like, Sergeant Whitewood has already, like, called ahead and told them that you guys are out and about, so do whatever the heck you guys need. They give you the briefest rundown that they don't know what's happening inside. All they know is that people stopped coming out. Some people ran from it screaming. They've kind of gone crazy, maybe.
More than
they're
normal.
Not talking. Yeah, more than normal. They're not talking. Like, they've kind of gone mutant and are shaking and stuff. They've stopped people from going in, of course. They've cordoned off the entire area with cops. But every once in a while, someone from the remaining crowd snaps and tries to break the police line because they have to get inside. Not because there's a loved one inside, but because they're hearing something and they feel like they have to get
inside.
This
is my hole. It was made for me.
Okay, quick question. When we go in there, how are we going to differentiate between? Well, obviously we're going to have
friend or foe.
Well, yeah, but
makeup or zombie.
Right. What if somebody, like, that's a problem?
How big of a crowd are we talking?
There's definitely, like, more people than cops. They're getting more people all the time. A black and white will pull up, like, every few minutes trying to get more people, but it's just a large crowd of people. Basically, they're losing control of this crowd, and it's not just because people are upset that they can't get in the haunted house.
Let's move.
Yeah. All right, you moving in?
Yeah. I guess so.
What's the marching order here?
I'll be back, since I have Ecto goggles.
All right, who wants to push me through this haunted house?
I will.
I got goggles.
Yeah.
All right, so walls up front,
go.
Pools in back. And the rest are in the middle?
Somewhere in the middle.
I'll be kind of middle to front.
What's the theme of this haunted house?
So this is going to be like a jail, insane asylum kind of thing.
Perfect.
Where the inmates kind of took over. That's what it's supposed to be, at least. With that, the cops will open the door for you guys to step inside. As soon as you step in and like pass like the first couple rags that are like dangling down, it is completely pitch black. And you don't even really hear the standard sound effects or screaming or anything like that. It's like silent inside.
Well, flashlights on.
And goggles.
If you turn
and PKE.
Yeah, if you turn your flashlight on, you're in like a black void. And as you turn to see, you're alone.
So it's almost like we walked into like a giant cave.
Yeah, except
but we don't see each other.
Except you do not see each other.
Oh shit.
And as you're looking around, even with the goggles, you're just looking at an empty void. If you try to turn back like where you came, you're just seeing darkness.
Oh no.
And I say
I'm like, guys,
I go Marco.
No one hears him.
Marco?
You are by yourself.
Marco!
This is some House of Leaves shit here.
Seriously,
man.
Marco?
And as you sort of realize, oh shit, I'm in the dark and I'm by myself, you hear a voice. You don't, not sure if it's in your head or if you're actually hearing it, just says,
"Welcome."
Oh, thank goodness.
And I look around and I start waving.
And that's where I'm going to end it tonight.
I wave.
Letters from an Astrophysicist is the new book from one of the most influential acclaimed scientists on the planet, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Every year, he receives hundreds of letters from students to prisoners, scientists to priests, seeking advice or inspiration. His replies are by turn wise, funny, and mind-blowing. He covers everything from the history of the universe to time travel, aliens, and the power of imagination. Letters from an Astrophysicist by Neil deGrasse Tyson is out now in hardback, ebook, and audiobook.
This is Acast Recommends. Every week we pick one of our favorite shows, and this is one we think you're going to love.
This is Big Zoo.
And this is Big Fern.
And this is Spoke.
So what we do is we drag big topics from the timeline to create meaningful conversations featuring some of the most inspiring characters from our communities. We've got some big names in there.
Everyone's favorite rapper, novelist to comedian Sideman, authors Chelsea and Ore from Murky Books, Radio 1 Extra presenter Stussy Shy, and loads more. So subscribe to This Is Spoke on iTunes, Spotify, Acast, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast is home to the biggest podcasts from the UK and around the world. Subscribe to this show and hundreds more now via Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to Ghostbusters Resurrection. If you found our services satisfactory, please consider telling a friend, or you can rate and review us on iTunes.
As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other Nerdy Show programs alive. If you value our world-class ghost removal services, please consider supporting the Nerdy Show Network on Patreon.
Get access to exclusive GBR content like early episode releases, outtakes, and behind-the-scenes discussions. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow.
If you'd like to run your own Ghostbusters role-playing game, franchising opportunities are available now. Head over to gbrpg.com for more information.
For further inquiries, you can reach out to the Central Florida Ghostbusters on Twitter at GBResurrection, as well as Facebook and Tumblr.
And if you'd like to report a spook, specter, or ghost, you can leave us a voicemail at 321-209-2020.
We're ready to believe you.
Hey, fellas, it's Mike from the Northern Westchester branch calling. I was wondering if you guys had any information on pre-colonial American witchcraft. If you could get that information up to us as fast as possible, that'd be really appreciated. God damn it. Stop throwing that. Okay. If you could also give us statistics for cyclotron output for a dark matter generator, that could also be much appreciated. The upgrade package Dr. Zedmore sent us yesterday. Apparently, a certain onion head slimed the instruction manual before it got sent out, so it's completely ruined. If you could get that information to us as well, I would, many thanks. All right, talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Ghostbusters, we need your help. I think there's a ghost that's possessed my wife, Carrie, because she's not acting like she usually does. She's really mean and irritable all the time.
Yeah.
Internationally best-selling author John Grisham is back with his explosive new thriller, The Guardians. Guilty until proven innocent. How do you prove your innocence from behind bars? They killed one lawyer 22 years ago. They will murder another without a second's thought. The best thriller writer alive, Ken Follett. The Guardians. Available now in hardback, ebook, and audiobook.